Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 26, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the U.S. sell-off goes global. Team coverage from London, Singapore, and New York straight ahead.
Cryptocurrencies take a hit with Bitcoin on track for its worst week in a year.
The House prepares to pass stimulus, but a minimum wage hike is dealt a blow.
New York City schools have a positive COVID-19 test rate of less than 1%, while New Jersey watches the newest COVID-19 variant very closely. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. A good night for local teams. Wins for the Knicks, Nets, Islanders, and Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are little changed to lower this morning, coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures, little change now. Dow futures down 47. NASDAQ futures down 34. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 15 30 seconds, yield 1.46%. The yield on the two-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% at $63.09 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, the Wall Street sell-off is spilling overseas, but in Europe, it's not nearly as bad as yesterday's U.S. drop. Let's begin our global team coverage with Bloomberg's Danny Berger live in London. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Nathan. Good morning, Karen. That's right. It is still in the red, but at down 0.6%. As you say, it's nothing compared to the 2.5% we saw sell off in the S&P 500. It still is a chaotic morning, a lot of volume, but sort of the saving grace here has been European yields, much like that of the 10-year, starting to fall. So not as high as they were yesterday. German 10-year bond yield down about 3 basis points. Still some lingering selling, things like copper, oil still down, and that's hurting a lot of the oil majors and miners in the European stock index. Live in London, Danny Berger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Danny, thank you. We're also seeing a sell-off in Asia. In fact, stocks in the region slumped the most since March. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Japan's Nikkei 225 index closed down almost 4% in Tokyo, its biggest one-day fall since April, while Hong Kong's market was down more than 3% as tech players continued to tumble. An index of consumer stocks in China posted one of its worst weekly declines on record. Australian stocks fell the most in 6 months, while Australian bonds swung amid an unscheduled purchase operation from the RBA. Japan's benchmark hovered near its highest level since early 2016, as Governor Kuroda reiterated the BOJ isn't aiming to raise its yield target from around 0%. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. This all comes after yesterday's bond-fueled sell-off on Wall Street, but things are easing in the U.S. this morning. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Nathan, U.S. futures are mixed this morning. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield back below 1.5%. It went as high as 1.6% yesterday. Tech's been the hardest-hit sector, with the NASDAQ down almost 5.5% for the week. Well, there's concern that accelerating inflation could trigger a pullback in support from the Federal Reserve. Right now, central bank officials say surging Treasury yields merely reflect optimism on the economy. They say there are no plans to tighten policy prematurely. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Plenty of reaction this morning to the sell-off. Peter Shafrick, global macro strategist at RBC, said the market is looking to the Fed for answers.
The first leg of the bond market sell-off that we've seen was driven almost exclusively by inflation expectations. But about 2 weeks ago, that changed. First, real yields went up, and then yesterday, the short end went up. So, and I think this is really sort of where the market is essentially testing the central banks and saying, all right, we want you to see defend your targets rather than just talk about it.
Shafrick is just one of many pointing to central bank expectations as the reason for the sell-off. Ian Steely is International Chief Investment Officer for Fixed Income at J.P. Morgan Asset Management.
I think what was interesting yesterday was that the movement higher in yields was led by the five-year part of the curve. And the five-year part of the curve is obviously much more focused on what monetary policy is doing. And there, really, the market is questioning the Federal Reserve.
And checking Treasury yields right now, the 10-year yield is at 1.47%, the 2-year 0.14%, and the 30-year yield 2.24%.
Now, we're also seeing Bitcoin tumble this morning. The cryptocurrency is on track for its worst weekly slide in almost a year. Still, Kathy Wood, founder and CEO of ARK Investment Management, remains bullish. She says the potential market cap for Bitcoin could be trillions of dollars.
When you aggregate all of these use cases for Bitcoin and assume a conservative allocation, let's say in the terms of cash or insurance policies, you do get into the trillions of dollars of market cap potential out there.
Kathy Wood made the comments at yesterday's Bloomberg Crypto Summit, and right now Bitcoin's at $46,803.
Turning to Capitol Hill now, Democrats have suffered a major blow in the push for their stimulus package. The bill looks like it won't include a provision to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. That's after a Senate official ruled they can't use fast-track budget procedures to make the change. Republican Senator from Tennessee Marsha Blackburn says the hike would have hurt small business.
We want everyone to make the maximum amount that they can make. A maximum wage. But right now we have to be sensitive to the fact that a lot of people have just had their backs against the wall, if you will. They have found it very difficult and they've struggled.
And Blackburn spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up today, Kevin speaks with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
And now the latest on the pandemic. There's been a dramatic drop in the number of coronavirus hospitalizations. They plunged 72% from last month while the push to vaccinate gathered steam. And we may be just days away from getting another vaccine in the U.S. An FDA panel meets today to consider its recommendation for approving Johnson & Johnson shot for emergency usage.
And futures this morning, jumping around a bit. S&P futures still a little changed, up about 2 points. Dow futures down 39. NASDAQ futures down 14 now. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 13 32nds, yield 1.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 45 cents at $63.08 a barrel. And the euro 1.2124 against the dollar. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
6:07 now on Wall Street. Let's bring in Amy Morris once again for the latest on what's happening in New York and around the world. Amy.
Nathan, the relationship between the U.S. and Saudi Arabia has just gotten a bit trickier. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter brings us the story.
The U.S. Independent Intelligence Report has implicated Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The report has been classified, but reports are it will become declassified today. What can be done of it is yet to be seen, but what is known is that the Trump administration had most all the information and didn't want to release it. President Biden talked with Ken Salman earlier in the day, but whether this was discussed is not known. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says the state is watching the COVID-19 variant that's spreading through New York City very closely. He says it has not been found in New Jersey, not yet. Murphy says nearly 600,000 people have been fully vaccinated now in New Jersey. New York City schools have a positive COVID-19 test rate of less than 1%, as middle schools have reopened to students for in-person instruction. The school system has administered about 500,000 COVID-19 tests, and more than 30,000 teachers have gotten the vaccine. New York officials are opening 12 new community-based pop-up vaccine sites over the next few days. They are located in the Hudson Valley, New York City, and on Long Island. All the available appointments have already been filled for the three Hudson Valley sites. New York City's three new pop-ups are located in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and in Upper Manhattan. The Texas legislature has held several committee hearings in its search for answers from power company executives to explain why there were blackouts during last week's deadly winter freeze. Curtis Morgan is the CEO of Vistra Corp.
When we did reach out, and this isn't blaming anybody, I just was surprised at the lack of urgency that I got from some of the officials, you know, the agencies.
He told lawmakers he alerted the Electric Reliability Council of Texas as soon as he learned there would not be enough power. Peter Gotti, the brother of famed Gambino crime boss John Gotti, died yesterday behind bars in a federal correctional facility in North Carolina. The 81-year-old was serving a 25-year sentence on racketeering charges. He died of natural causes. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets are the hottest team in the NBA. They've got their longest winning streak since 2006 when they played in New Jersey. They made it 8 in a row with a blowout win in Brooklyn over Orlando. Nets outscored the Magic in the second quarter by 22 and then in the fourth by 17. They won by 37, 129-92. It's the 20th time this season the Nets have scored at least 120 points. That's a club record. And the season isn't half over yet. While the Nets win with their league-leading offense, the Knicks usually rely on their defense, number one in the NBA, but Sacramento has the worst defense. So the Knicks uncharacteristically scored at least 38 points in three of the four quarters. They beat the Kings 140-121. Sacramento's ninth loss in a row. Knicks have won five of the last seven. This is their first win with fans at the Garden. Big third period for the Islanders. They scored five times, four goals in a span of less than 4 minutes, seven different goal scorers in a 7-2 rout of the Bruins. The Devils on a Pavel Zaka goal in overtime, 1-4-3 at Buffalo. Much has been made of the Mets' attempts to sign recently acquired all-star shortstop Francisco Lindor to a new contract. He's heading into the final year of his deal, but so is Michael Conforto.
To be completely honest, I've been so focused on preparing myself for this season. I can't lie and say that I haven't thought about it, but my focus, I'm trying to keep my focus where it needs to be, and that's on this team.
Conforto entering his seventh season in the Mets outfield. He had 322 last year. The Mets' first exhibition game is Monday. Yankees play Toronto on Sunday. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. Futures in the red now. S&P futures down almost 3 points. Dow futures lower by 67 points. NASDAQ futures leading the declines at the moment. They are down 41 points. 10-year Treasury up 14/32. The yield, 1.47%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Hi, good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are lower this morning. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures coming off its worst week. NASDAQ, which is coming off its worst loss since October, rather. FIOS futures are lower as well, down about 39. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 12/32, yield 1.47%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.15%. 30-year yield, 2.25%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 59 cents at $62.95 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.9% or $16 at $17.59.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.2115 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3919. And the yen, 106.39. And we continue to watch GameStop. It continues its advance up 9% in early trading. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Karen. The U.S. carrying out airstrikes in eastern Syria. The targets were connected to Iranian-backed groups believed to be involved in rocket attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq. This is the first use of military force since President Biden took office. A U.S. intelligence report implicates Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman in approving the murder of Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi. That report could be declassified as early as today. The IRS says tax refunds are going out a lot slower this year because of a late start. The IRS started processing income tax returns on February 12th. That's more than 2 weeks later than last year. In sports, the Knicks, Nets, and Wizards win. On the ice, the Islanders beat the Bruins and the Devils and Caps win. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to turn to the latest on the pandemic now with a panel of experts meeting today to discuss an emergency recommendation for Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. The U.S. may be poised now for a third weapon in the fight against COVID-19. For more, we're joined by Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo, lead epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative. Doctor, it's great to have you with us, particularly in these recent days when we've seen so much good news around vaccines, including the J&J shot. Is there any reason to think that we won't get that emergency approval? And what's it going to mean for the vaccination effort?
No, I think it's fairly clear that we're going to get the approval for it, which is going to be great news because having a third shot just adds to our supply, adds to options. And, you know, really the urgency here is to get them into arms as quickly as possible. And there's been some supply bottlenecks that have been slowing that down. So having another vaccine on board will greatly help that.
Now, Johnson & Johnson has said, at least in the initial couple of weeks, it's going to take a while to get to the levels that the federal government wants to see. What could that mean for the vaccination effort? Do you expect that to be a hindrance in any way?
Well, it might take a while to roll out. I mean, we saw that with the other vaccines, too, that it took a while to get going. But there's one advantage that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has that the other two that are have emergency use authorization don't have, which is that right now it only requires one vaccine. So that really helps extend the number of people who can be fully vaccinated because they only have to come in once.
It brings me to some interesting news that continues to come out about the Pfizer vaccine, the idea that it could be pretty effective at a single dose, even though it's recommended for two shots. The latest study reported by Reuters out of the UK says that the Pfizer-BioNTech shot reduces transmission after a single dose. What's your view as to whether people should be thinking about just getting one shot of the Pfizer inoculation?
So this is encouraging data, but in terms of changing how we vaccinate, that really is something that needs to be formally evaluated through the FDA process. And, you know, it's really important that we stick to that process because, you know, first of all, there's a lot of misinformation out there and we want to make sure the information is fully vetted, make sure the data are correct. And we don't want to deviate from official vaccination schedules until a decision is made that this is, in fact, something that can be done. But I think for people who have gotten one shot, they should feel good and, you know, happy to get their second one will feel even better.
How long would it take, do you think, to get the kind of comprehensive data that would give experts more confidence as to whether just one dose is enough?
Yeah, it's not really clear to me. I mean, you know, these looks are happening and the studies are being done. I mean, in part, they're you know, happen according to chance. So just, you know, you need to study people who are getting infected and see the difference between those who've had the vaccine and not. So there is some element of chance. And as case numbers fall, that becomes a bit harder to do. But, you know, I think in the coming weeks, or, you know, months, we might have a clearer idea. But then again, it has to go through a consideration by the FDA in order for it to become sort of an official recommendation.
Well, talking about case numbers and now hospitalizations falling, we're seeing a 72% drop in hospitalizations in just the last month, according to the CDC. Is that something that we can tie to the vaccination effort?
Well, probably not fully, but I'm sure the vaccination effort is helping because we know that one of the things that they're really great at is preventing severe illness and hospitalizations. That said, you know, we haven't had enough people fully vaccinated to be able to say for sure that that's the vaccine. We also know that people are, you know, doing other things like not traveling for the holidays. And so there's a lot of reason why the case numbers and people getting infected are likely falling now. And not all of it is related to the vaccine, though I would expect that the vaccine is having an important contribution to that.
Would you expect that case counts would continue to fall as we get into warmer months? And what about new strains? Is that still a concern?
Sure. So it's my hope that the case numbers will continue to fall, but there's no guarantee of that. You know, some people have pointed out that in the last week or so, the decline has slowed a bit. My sense is that's probably related to some of the weather interruptions, and states are now just kind of getting back online reporting their cases. But it's always something that we should be concerned about, the potential for case numbers to increase. Nevertheless, I am hopeful that they will continue to decline, particularly as we get more vaccines into arms. As for the variants, they are very much a concern on the horizon, and we should be looking quite closely at the data and doing more sequencing to make sure we can find as many of the variants as we can. We don't have great knowledge of that right now, but so far all the measures we use to control the disease work on the variants, so that's good news.
Dr. Jennifer Nuzzo, lead epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins COVID-19 Testing Insights Initiative. Great to get your insights this morning. Thanks again for being with us. Futures moving lower now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Clouds give way to sunshine. Low 40s today. Tomorrow, rain. It'll end late in the day with a high near 50, but the rain returns Sunday. Right now, 35 and clear in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global bond markets are looking to recover from yesterday's aggressive sell-off that drove steep losses in treasuries and stocks. We get the latest live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, 10-year treasury yields are now back below 1.5%. They went as high as 1.6% Thursday. S&P futures down about 8 points following yesterday's sell-off, which also saw the Nasdaq plunge 3.5%. There's concern that accelerating inflation could trigger a pullback in support from the Federal Reserve. Right now, central bank officials say surging Treasury yields merely reflect optimism on the economy. And they say there are no plans to tighten policy prematurely. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Now, despite yesterday's sell-off, we're not at the pain threshold for stocks just yet. That's according to Bank of America's head of U.S. equity and quantitative strategy, Savita Subramanian.
We're still in an environment that is relatively attractive for long duration stocks and for equities overall. But I think when we get to, you know, a three handle on the 10-year, that's where a lot of our indicators suggest that stocks could feel a little bit of pain.
Cryptocurrencies are also feeling with the pain. Bitcoin is on track for its worst week in almost a year. Still, MicroStrategy chairman Michael Saylor remains bullish.
And in an expansionary monetary environment, you want scarce assets. And the scarcest asset in the world is Bitcoin.
And Saylor made the comments yesterday at Bloomberg's Crypto Summit. Checking Bitcoin right now. It is currently at $46,260.
All right, let's check in on Capitol Hill. Democrats have suffered a major blow in the push for their stimulus package. The bill looks like it won't include a provision to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Republican Senator from Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn, says the hike would have hurt small business.
I talk to small business owners every single day that have really not taken any salary or any revenue from their business because they are trying to keep people employed during this pandemic.
Blackburn spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Coming up today, Kevin speaks with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
And futures are lower and they're extending their declines. S&P futures down 10 points, Dow futures down 135, NASDAQ futures down 59, that's down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 13 30 seconds, yield 1.47%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
And at 6:33 on Wall Street, we check in again with Amy Morris on what's happening in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York State Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker is defending his policies concerning nursing homes and the coronavirus. Dr. Zucker testified remotely in front of state lawmakers, answering questions about the now canceled March 25th directive that required nursing homes to accept COVID-positive patients. Zucker denied that the policy would lead to more deaths.
I stood by it in July. I stand by it now. That we know that it's in the community,
then it is going to end up in the facility.
Cuomo administration officials argue that decision was based on limited hospital space. An Asian man was stabbed in the back yesterday in New York City, another in a string of potential hate crimes targeting the Asian community. Jenny Lowe is a Democratic district leader in New York City's Chinatown neighborhood, and she says enough is enough.
This is very upsetting. We have been seeing so many more attacks on Asians. This is hate crime.
New York City police say for an incident to actually be labeled a hate crime, there must be some kind of verbal communication. Governor Murphy taking the next step for the legal sale of marijuana in New Jersey. Murphy is making final picks for a cannabis regulatory commission, which will be regulating the industry along with allocating licenses to new dispensaries and growers. Their duties will include regulating both medical and the 21 and older legal pot market. The New York State Common Retirement Fund says it is pushing companies to boost their ethnic and gender diversity and will vote against directors who fail to act. The New York Pension, which has $248 billion in assets, plans to file shareholder proposals supporting increased diversity on corporate boards. It will also seek better disclosures about the gender and ethnic breakdown of companies' employees. A New York City police commissioner who kneeled with protesters outraged by the death of George Floyd, but was also an architect of the department's forceful response to the demonstrations, is retiring after nearly four decades on the force. Terrence Monahan will become a senior advisor to Mayor Bill de Blasio, aiding in the city's coronavirus recovery. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower is back with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the Knicks, the NBA's worst team offensively, the best defensively. Surprising to see them win last night at the Garden with a scoring outburst. The Knicks had 77 points at the half. They won 140 to 121. Far and away the most points they had put up this season. That's because Sacramento allows the most. The Kings have now lost nine in a row. Rookie Emmanuel quickly, 25 points in 20 minutes off the bench. He made all 12 of his free throws. He shoots those at 94%. 24 off the bench for Alec Burks. Julius Randle scored 21 with 14 rebounds. In Brooklyn, Nets made it eight wins in a row, a 129-92 drubbing of Orlando. Kyrie Irving scored 27. He and James Harden teamed up for 16 assists. Kevin Durant, again, didn't play. He's only played once during the win streak. Islanders and Bruins were 2-2 in the third period. The Isles then scored five times against ex-Islander goalie Yaroslav Halak. They won 7-2. Boston had not allowed five goals in a game all year. Devils ended the three-game losing streak. 4-3 overtime win in Buffalo. Gerrit Cole will obviously be the Yankees opening day starter, and Aaron Boone says Gary Sanchez will be his catcher. Last season ended with Cole pitching only to Kyle Higashioka, but Cole thinks Sanchez will be better defensively this year.
I didn't speak to him specifically on some of the changes he made, but I mean, he's super focused in camp, and he's communicating to the pitchers both in the bullpens and in the live BP. So seems to be on the right track and taking steps forward.
Of course, Sanchez needs to also improve at the plate. He batted 147 last year. Yankees and Blue Jays exhibition baseball Sunday in Tampa. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It is 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market on this Friday morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, a lot of tech earnings to get through this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're really seeing the aftermath of results from late yesterday. Several software makers out with figures, and sort of a common thread through most of them is that their revenue forecast came up short of what analysts predicted in Bloomberg surveys. You got the business software maker Salesforce.com down 3% in early trading. The maker of employee relations and finance software Workday off 6.5%. The design software maker Autodesk lower by 2%. And the operating software maker VMware down 2.5%. Now, VMware happens to be a unit of Dell Technologies, which makes computers as well. And we had Dell's results out late yesterday. They went over better. Shares were up as much as 3% in late trading yesterday. Haven't seen much today. Quarterly revenue beat projections thanks to demand for personal computers to work and study from home. And HP, which also had results out late yesterday, had a similar benefit. And those shares are up 1.5% in early trading.
All right. Now, how about some names outside of tech? What's got your eye there?
Well, I mean, you've got a couple of companies making their first earnings reports since going public and sort of a mixed response. Airbnb is up 1.5%. The online booking services first report as a public company showed a smaller drop in revenue than analysts expected. Airbnb did have a wider than expected loss. Then you have DoorDash down 9.5%. The food delivery service said it sees a drop in the number and size of orders starting in the second quarter as people get vaccinated against COVID-19. We're going to have results out before the opening bell from the athletic wear retailer Foot Locker, the sports betting company DraftKings, and the cable channel owner AMC Networks, as opposed to AMC Entertainment, which we'll come back to in a moment. AT&T's up 0.5%. The phone and media company agreed to sell a 30% stake in satellite television unit DirecTV to private equity firm TPG. Couple of other companies higher after results. The online mortgage lender Rocket up 9.5%, and the online crafts marketplace XD up 6%. And we did have a software company whose results were well received. It's Zscaler. They make security software. They're up 5%. Zscaler raising its fiscal year revenue forecast after third quarter sales beat estimates. Virgin Galactic down 14%. The space tourism company indefinitely put off a trip by founder Richard Branson that was due to happen this quarter. And we should note the meme stocks.
Okay.
Looks like most of them have kind of had their run. GameStop higher by 8.5%, but you look at some of the others. AMC, specifically movie theater owner AMC Entertainment, down about 5%. Apparel retailer Express down 5.5%, and headphone maker Cost down 13.5%. So, you know, that seems to be running its course. And by the way, this weekend, keep an eye on Johnson & Johnson with a decision under COVID-19 vaccine, and Berkshire Hathaway will get the annual shareholder letter from Warren Buffett tomorrow.
Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, going to be a busy weekend, I see. Futures extending declines. S&P futures down 15 points. Dow futures down 169. NASDAQ futures lower by 92. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender. Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. Futures extending their declines. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now, with Dow futures down 193 points. S&P's drop 18. NASDAQ futures declined by 100. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.47%. That's after hitting 1.61% yesterday. Gold is down 11, and Japan fell 4% overnight, while European markets are also trading lower this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, PCE, trade balance, and wholesale inventories. At 9:45, Chicago PMI, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Salesforce boosted 2022 revenue views. Etsy revenue forecast beat estimates, and Airbnb sales also beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, Foot Lock EPS beat, and in deal news, AT&T will offload DirecTV in a deal with TPG that values the unit at about $16 billion. Wrapping things up, Carvana raised overweight at Morgan Stanley. HP Inc. raised overweight over at JP Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, an Iraqi militia official says a U.S. airstrike in Syria has killed one militiaman and wounded a number of others with a powerful Iranian-backed Iraqi group. It is the first military action of the Biden presidency. Hundreds of girls are missing after a large group of gunmen raided a school in northern Nigeria early this morning. One parent says school records show 300 girls are missing. More Americans will be able to qualify for unemployment insurance thanks to new guidance from the Labor Department. It expands eligibility to people who are afraid of contracting coronavirus on the job. In sports, the Knicks, Nets, and Wizards will win. On the ice, the Islanders beat the Bruins, and the Devils and Caps win. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Bond market screams for help, but no one answers. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Thursday will go down in history as one of the wildest trading sessions ever in the $21 trillion market for U.S. Treasuries. In early U.S. hours, the benchmark 10-year Treasury yield reached the same level as the dividend yield on the S&P 500. Then something stranger happened. Traders aggressively sold shorter-term Treasuries, which had long remained relatively contained. Finally, the wildest part of all, the Treasury Department's $62 billion 7-year note sale was a complete disaster. By that point, the world's biggest bond market was clearly screaming for help, but few came to its rescue. That realization was alarming enough to spark something resembling a mini flash crash in what's supposed to be the deepest and most liquid market anywhere, with yields rising 10 basis points or more in an instant. This isn't a market tantrum, given that stock indexes remain near record highs, but the Treasury market is definitely starting to raise a ruckus. For now, the Fed and bond traders alike are leaving it alone to blow off steam. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPI and go. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check on what's going on in D.C. now. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include President Biden ordering his first military action with strikes on Syrian militias. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman implicated in the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in a U.S. intelligence report. And former President Donald Trump returns to a conservative political action conference where all voices will echo his. Also making news, the House set to pass stimulus even as the minimum wage hike in the bill suffers a setback. Let's get more on all these stories now from Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. So, Emily, we got the ruling from the Senate parliamentarian, and it looks like the minimum wage, what, isn't going to be able to stay in this bill?
Yeah, the $15 minimum wage, as lawmakers initially were thinking about passing it, is just not going to be able to be in the bill. Remember, because Democrats aren't using sort of the normal process to pass legislation, there are certain restrictions on what they can and can't get through. And so the minimum wage is a no-go at this point. But progressive Democrats are trying to find another way to make this happen. One proposal that they've had is particularly having some sort of tax penalty, either taking away deductions or adding other taxes on major corporations that aren't paying their employees a $15 minimum wage. Obviously, those ideas are still in discussion. And as they do, Democrats are still keeping their eye on that March 14th deadline. That's the day that supplemental unemployment insurance runs out. And there is bipartisan support for that. The goal is to not let that lapse.
Now, we know President Biden is going to be heading to Houston today following the deep freeze on the grid. Is that going to give him another chance to sort of sell the package directly to the people?
I think, you know, COVID-19 is, you know, obviously Texas is sort of going through numerous things right now. Number one, sort of still recovering from what happened with their electricity grid, but they've still got the pandemic down there too. And so this is an opportunity for Biden not only to continue to tout the $1.9 trillion bills, continue to get support from Americans for it, but it's also an opportunity for him to go ahead and begin previewing the next big package that Democrats want to pass. This one would have more infrastructure elements involved in it, and he could tie that into what we just saw happen with the electric grid in Texas.
Let's turn to a couple of foreign policy developments for the Biden administration. What do we know about this first military action, apparently, on Syrian militias?
Right. So this is Biden's first overt military action that we've seen. The White House has cast it as a retaliatory action after American and allies were bombed a little bit ago. And so it's seen as a retaliatory attack. It's something at this point that, for the most part, we're still going to be looking for lawmakers today to sort of comment on this, express, you know, sort of how they feel toward this. But at this point, the Biden administration is saying that it was a justified attack, and it took place, very, very early Friday morning local time, late Thursday night our time.
All right. Finally, the Conservative Political Action Conference is underway in Florida. And if there's a rift in the Republican Party, Emily, it looks like this event has taken a side.
Yeah, for this particular event, when you look through the roster of names of people appearing, it is President Trump's going to speak. A lot of his allies are going to speak. And there's been some controversy about it this week. I mean, during a press conference, Reporters asked House Republican leader, should Trump speak at CPAC? And you saw Liz Cheney said no, and you heard Kevin McCarthy say yes. But there is definitely sort of a sense that, this is sort of a rallying around President Trump. It comes at a moment where the Republican Party is sort of debating what their future is going to be. Trump is not expected to make any big announcements about 2024, but we're definitely going to be listening to what he says.
All right, Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. Read more on all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in Washington. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is coming up to 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, a world-class polytechnic university that makes a real difference in the lives of its graduates and the businesses that employ them. More at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Johnson & Johnson's coronavirus vaccine is set for vetting by a panel of outside advisors to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration later today. It's one of the final steps toward potential authorization of the country's first one-dose immunization against COVID-19. If the panel votes that the vaccine's benefits outweigh its risks as expected, the agency could grant emergency clearance within days. A crisis over the supply of medical oxygen for coronavirus patients has struck nations in Africa and Latin America. It takes about 12 weeks to install a hospital oxygen plant and even less time to convert industrial oxygen manufacturing systems into a medical-grade network. But in Brazil and Nigeria, as well as in less populous nations, decisions to fully address inadequate supplies only started being made last month after hospitals were overwhelmed and patients started to die. And Sony is preparing to open up its PlayStation 5 upgrades this summer. Sources say adding support for additional drives will be enabled with a firmware update that also unlocks higher cooling fan speeds to ensure the console does not overheat. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history every day. Here with the latest installment is Bloomberg. Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1966, Andrew Brimmer becomes the first Black governor appointed to the Federal Reserve Board. Born the son of sharecroppers, Brimmer was an economist and a renowned expert on monetary policy, capital markets, and international finance. While he was a doctoral student at Harvard University, he worked as an economist for the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. He also traveled to the Sudan and Africa to establish a central bank. During the administrations of President John F. Kennedy and Lyndon B. Johnson, Brimmer served as Assistant Secretary of Economic Affairs in the Department of Commerce. After his stint on the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, Brimmer took a teaching post at Harvard, then established the consulting firm Brimmer & Company. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning are falling. S&P futures down about 14 points. Dow futures down 152. And NASDAQ futures down 79. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 14/32. Yield 1.47%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil, it's falling as well, down 2.25% at $62.12 a barrel. That's down about $1.38. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Jonathan Farrow and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.
And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Amy Morris with a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. Tens of thousands of New York City middle school students are returning to their school buildings today. Mayor Bill de Blasio.
This is really an important moment, bringing back our middle school kids, getting them in the classroom, giving them opportunity to learn from talented, committed, passionate educators. People really care about what they're doing.
62,000 students in grades 6 through 8 will be back today. De Blasio says New York City's high schools will reopen before the end of the academic year. A new coronavirus variant is spreading across New York. The New York Times reports the variant contains a mutation thought to help the virus dodge the immune system, possibly weakening the effectiveness of vaccines. Scientists call it B1526. It first started showing up in November. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy reports the state has administered more than 1.7 million doses of the vaccine, and he says tens of thousands of shots are administered every day, adding that number could greatly increase if Johnson & Johnson's shot receives emergency approval.
J&J is a potential game changer. There's no question about it. They've already indicated that they've got some amount of supply ready to go.
Murphy says that first shipment of their vaccine could arrive during the second week of March. The U.S. military is beginning to deliver shots at coronavirus vaccination centers in New York and in Texas, and says service members will start staffing four centers in Florida and one in Philadelphia next week. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says the soldiers are equipped to handle such a massive effort.
What the military brings to this equation is discipline, organizational skills, and effectiveness.
The Pentagon is ramping up deployment of what federal authorities say could be up to 100 vaccination teams across the country. A former member of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration, who previously accused him of sexual harassment, has offered new details now. Lindsay Boylan says Cuomo once kissed her on the lips without consent and would, quote, go out of his way to touch her, and suggested they play strip poker. Cuomo has denied the claims. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. 5:09 is the time now on Wall Street. Time for Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stasher.
Good morning, Nathan. The accusation made in Russia is that Rangers star Artemi Panarin assaulted a girl 10 years ago. He at the time was playing in the Continental League. ESPN reports that the coach of Panarin's team and two of his teammates then knew nothing of any such charge. Panarin has denied it. He has taken a leave of absence without him. Rangers lost in Philadelphia 4-3. Chris Kreider scored all three Ranger goals. Red hot Nets tonight try to make it 8 wins in a row. They host Orlando. Knicks are home for Sacramento. Last night, Utah blew out the Lakers by 25. The Jazz are an NBA best 26-6. Lakers have lost 4 in a row. Rutgers came from 15 down to beat Indiana for the second time, 74-63. Cold shooting Seton Hall lost at Butler, 61-52. The first public comments from the Yankees' Domingo Germán since he stopped pitching in 2019 following the accusation that he beat up his girlfriend. He spoke to his teammates Tuesday, and Germán told the media yesterday he has benefited from counseling. Several of his Yankee teammates say while they support Germán, they won't tolerate another such incident. PGA Tour has made the move from California to Florida. Tournament starts today in Bradenton. All the players thinking about Tiger Woods. It was Tony Finau's reaction to Tuesday's car crash.
Something crazy happened to our sports world last year with Kobe. So, you know, I wouldn't say that dramatic of feelings, but man, you just hope Tiger's all right, you know. And we all know he's a strong cookie, physically, mentally. So if someone's gonna get through this, he will, and be back for the better, I'm sure. But you know, our thoughts and prayers, I'm sure, as a whole, all the players, I can speak on their behalf, are with Tiger.
The L.A. County Sheriff said yesterday the crash was a, quote, pure accident. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. Mixed action in futures contracts this morning. S&P futures are down 6 points. Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures lower by 101 points. 10-year Treasury down 19 32nds now. The yield up to 1.44% on the benchmark 10-year note. 2-year yield, 0.13%. Good Thursday morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond